It is Friday, March 15th, and it's the fifth anniversary of the Christchurch terrorist attacks, in which 51 people, including children, lost their lives and many, many more were injured. Now, earlier in the week, on Tuesday, we spoke to community leaders about the support provided to victims and whether or not enough is being done to protect Muslim women from racial harassment. It's a sombre, but in my opinion, important and good listen. So please do check that episode out if you get the chance. Kia ora, this is Newsable. I'm Imogen and this is what's worth talking about. An animal welfare expert says there is nothing that could ever convince him live animal exporting can be safe. So why is the government considering reintroducing the practice? Can rugby and politics ever really be separated? We're talking controversial haka ahead of this weekend's latest round of Super Rugby matches. We're catching up with one of the dancers from legendary Kiwi troupe Black Grace and the quirky currency one US library has decided to accept to pay off your fines. All that's coming up in a moment here on Newsable.
Newsable takes time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.
The government is promising gold standard rules for protecting animal welfare under plans to resume live exports. The proposal, which would overturn the ban introduced by Labour last year, will go out for public consultation, but opponents are already organising, with more than 16,000 people signing a petition calling on the coalition to ditch the idea in just 10 days, and another 100 days are still to come to sign that petition. The man behind it is John Hellstrom, who's previously been chair of the National Animal Welfare Advisory Committee. That's an organisation that provides independent advice to the minister responsible for animal welfare, and chief veterinary officer for the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries. And he joins us now. Welcome, John. What a CV.
Yes, it's been around for a while. It happens when you get old.
John, just how dangerous is the practice of live exporting for the animals involved?
It causes distress and discomfort for them. If everything goes well, it's sort of okay. It's not great, but it's sort of okay. The problem is it doesn't always go well. As we know, the ships have sunk, ships' ventilation systems break down, wars intrude. There's two boatloads of cattle out there right at the moment that have been in great disarray, with animals dying and getting heat stress and so on because they hadn't been able to complete their voyages. And one of the problems we have from New Zealand is that we're the furthest away from all the other countries in the world, and we've got to ship the animals the furthest.
And what kind of animals are we talking about here, John, and why would they be being exported?
The main concern at the moment is about dairy cattle being exported to various countries for breeding purposes, but there are sheep that have been exported for the same reason. The previous trade of exporting animals to slaughter has stopped.
And what sort of conditions are these animals living in when they're on board live export ships?
Yes, well, the gold standard is really interesting. The gold standard really annoys me for a number of reasons, one of which is, why are we having a gold standard now when we've been shipping cattle around for 10 or 15 years? Each time there's a problem, the standard gets tweaked a bit. Now we're apparently going to have a miraculous standard which is foolproof. But let me just give some explanation. So these people put 5,000 or 10,000 cattle on a ship, depending on the size of the ship. They're put in steel pens with maybe a bit of sawdust on the floor. The pens hold about 20 to 40 animals, maybe a bit more sometimes. The actual space per animal, I get this, if you get a tape measure out and measure 1.5 meters and then another 1 meter at right angle to that, that's a 1.5 square meter space you've drawn out on the floor. That's the space for each animal. So in theory, they can lie down in that space. They're supposed to be able to lie down, but they're pretty crowded on these ships. And if they hit a storm and the animals are getting thrown around, you can imagine how uncomfortable that gets.
You mentioned two ships of cattle are currently stranded out in the ocean at the moment. What do we know about that situation? Where are they coming from and where are they going to?
One of them was a shipment from Brazil to the Middle East was going to go up through the Red Sea, so went round the Cape of Good Hope and then got turned back because of the Hurti problem up there and got stuck in Cape Town for several days. The conditions on that boat were so bad that people miles away were smelling the stench of the ship and wanted to get it out of the port. The problem was, once these animals get on the ship, What do you do with them if they come back because they're potentially infected with the exotic diseases and so on? And neither Australia nor New Zealand wants to get into that deal. So we'd have the same problem here. If a ship gets turned around and headed back to New Zealand, then what do we do? And it has happened before, and it will happen again.
And John, even if an animal doesn't die on the ship, it does survive, the stress that it's gone through can't be good for it, right?
No, it's not. I mean, a good gold standard conditions, these animals are going to arrive at the other end, possibly even have put some weight on. Certainly, they should still be in pretty reasonable condition, but then they go into quarantine in the arriving country, whichever it happens to be, and generally the conditions on those quarantine stations are pretty poor. Animals start to lose weight and die, and of course they're exposed to other diseases they haven't come across before. They have to go into quarantine because they've come from New Zealand, you know, they've had very few diseases, they're susceptible to anything that's going, so when they get to the new country, they have to be held in quarantine to protect them, to vaccinate them, to get them ready to go out to the contaminated world they're going to live in. And then most of them will go into large feedlots, which are anything between 20 and 50,000 cows. And it's not paddocks. They're on sand or metal standing pads. They're really terrible conditions. My concern is actually more with what happens at the destination than on the journey. But the fact is, once these animals leave New Zealand, they've been reared for 12 to 18 months on pasture, and then they hop on the truck, and that's the last time they'll ever stand on grass in their whole lives.
Why do you care so much about this, John, to start a petition to get the government to reconsider reintroducing the live exporting of animals?
I've been concerned about animal welfare, but particularly dairy cow welfare, all my life, ever since I started milking cows as a young kid. They're fantastic animals. We should treat them with the respect that they deserve. To do this, particularly with New Zealand cows, which have a pretty high welfare lifestyle, warts and all, we do pretty well by looking after our cows, and then we just put them into a series of environments where things get worse and worse.
John Hellstrom, animal welfare advocate, thank you so much for your time. And just a note, we did invite Associate Agriculture Minister Andrew Hoggard on the show to discuss the proposal as well, but he has so far been unable to confirm a time to speak to us. Well, 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 we asked you on Instagram if you thought you could limit yourself to just $5,000 a year on groceries after we met the Waikato woman trying to do so herself. And last time I checked, 41% of you said yes. Just 59% said nah. That is 41% more than I would have thought said that they reckon they could do it. Although maybe they'll be trying to pay using the same currency a US library is currently accepting. We'll get to that later. But that certainly would be a great way to keep the grocery bill down. Remember, if you do want to play along with our polls, all you got to do is follow NZ Stuff on Instagram. Tonight in Super Rugby Pacific, top of the table Hurricanes are playing former champs, the Crusaders, who at this stage are winless, not a position they are used to finding themselves in. It's generally been a pretty tight competitional round so far, no stonking great wins for anyone. And in the women's game, Super Opiki are already halfway through their season, and of course there's plenty to talk about there too. Sky Sport commentator Jeff Wilson is here for Newsable Sport, proudly brought to you by Sky, your sport unrivaled. Jeff, before the season started, we talked about the Saders' uphill battle this time round. I know it's still early stages, but what do you make of their performance so far?
Well, you talk about fans that are happy. The Hurricanes fans are clearly happy. If you're a Crusaders fan, look, it's been a really, really tough watch, but ultimately their squad is not healthy. So many injuries have led to the fact that at the start of the season, on a negative standpoint, teams have actually put a target on them and said, you know what, this is now a chance for us to beat them. And now they've got three derby games in the next 3 weekends. So look, there's a whole lot of pressure on them. And look, they've just lost their captain, Scott Barrett, for 6 weeks with a broken finger. So things have gone from bad to worse. The big thing for them is they're at home. So they go back to Christchurch, they go back to their home stadium, and that's where they've been so formidable over a long period of time. So if you're going to turn your season around, it's in front of your home fans, it's back in Christchurch. But this is a big match for the Hurricanes, because if they are who they think they are, and they're a contender, there's no reason they shouldn't go into Christchurch and win this game. But that's a lot easier said than done.
Everything seems quite tight at the moment. Are teams evening up a bit?
Well, the one thing that hasn't changed a lot is what's happening in the Australian teams. Yes, there's been some personnel move around their sides, but ultimately they look stronger, this team, because there hasn't been a lot of player leave over shore. There's been the odd player, but they look really, really, I think, motivated, prepared. They've got a new head coach in Joe Schmidt, so they're trying to impress as sides do. I'm still not prepared to say the Australian teams are championship contenders just yet, but they're certainly more competitive.
Pre-season, you and I also talked about how it was very clear that everyone wanted to make this season exciting. They wanted to shake stuff up a bit. Do you reckon they're delivering on that?
Yeah, look, I think that the challenge for rugby right now is to get some of the limelight back. And so they've looked at the way they want to play the game. They've certainly made some adjustments to the referees. The games have certainly been faster. I think you're seeing an effect on the teams. I think everything they've tried to this point has worked really well. We've seen way less TMO. And I think the world wanted to see that. But I think overall, I think everyone in and around the game is really, really happy with what they're producing. But there's a lot of competition out there right now. There's a lot of things going on. And, you know, it's the start of the NRL season. So it means that, you know, Super Rugby probably is competing with a number of different sports. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Warriors were amazing last year. But in terms of, I think, what they can create and the direction they're heading, look, I'm really excited. I certainly look forward to every weekend now because I get the sense that there's a difference to what the entertainment looks like.
And are there any players that you're thinking are viable All Blacks candidates already?
Reuben Love. I'm going to keep saying Reuben Love. I'm going to keep saying Reuben Love because he's playing behind the side that's playing well and it's easier to shine. Mark Talia is doing a huge amount of work for the Blues right now. He's fun to watch every time he touches the ball, but that's been part of the course for the last 2 years.
We simply cannot not talk about the Hurricanes POA and their haka, referring to the coalition government as redneck. Is it fair, do you think, for people to say politics and sports aren't meant to mix? Because we know in the past they have.
Look, this is very much, I think, on a personal level for each individual to decide whether or not politics and sport do mix, and there's no doubt, you know, it's a challenging space for everybody. From a personal point of view, is the fact that I like my focus to be what happens on inside the white lines, inside there, and that's just the way I've always been, you know. And look, I know there's been some difficult times for a lot of people involved. There's been a lot of stress in and around this, and you know, each individual will have to make their own decisions, but it's something that is not easy to deal with, you know, and everyone's had some challenges. And from my perspective, you know, I think for the Super Rugby Opriki this weekend, I'd really love for the attention to be on what's happening inside the white lines, because the rugby has actually been really, really good. It's been better than last year.
Sky commentator Jeff Wilson for Newsable Sport, proudly brought to you by Sky, your sport unrivaled. Jeff, thank you for joining us. And remember, you can watch every match from round 4 of Super Rugby Pacific this weekend live on Sky Sport and stream on Sky Sport Now. Sky Open will also have free-to-air live start coverage of the Force v Moana Pacifica from 11:55pm Friday and Chiefs v Fijian Ndrua from 7pm Saturday. A library in the US has decided to accept specific non-cash payments for fines during the entire month of March. The campaign has allegedly already seen 400 accounts cleared of fines. I'll tell you more about that soon. And remember, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, chuck us a like and a follow on your favourite podcast platform. It was a hit when it premiered in Auckland last year, and now dance company Black Grace's latest offering, Paradise Rumour, has returned to our shores for another 2 performances after a successful run in the United States. Black Grace is one of New Zealand's leading contemporary dance groups and has been since it was first formed in the mid-1990s. Their latest work explores the arrival of missionaries to the Pacific and has been described by one reviewer as mesmerising and a harrowing manifestation of the immigrant experience. One of the group's dancers, Faith Schuster, is here now to talk more about the piece. Faith, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Faith, earlier this week, Newsable spoke with director Lee Tamahori about his new film, The Convert, that looks at the story of British settlers getting caught up in the Māori Wars. Tamahori felt there was a timeliness to the film, given the current race-related tensions in New Zealand at the moment. Do you feel something similar about your own production as well, given it looks at colonisation?
Yes, definitely. And I think in the colonization topic is such a broad topic, and it's such a heavy one too. So, and it's an ongoing process to even deal with such a heavy thing. So it's definitely timely, and it's definitely a journey, one that the self can kind of reflect on, but also as the nation, as a group of people, like you said, like it's timely in what's happening now in our society.
Mm. So what can people expect from Black Grace's Paradise Rumour? You've got two local shows coming up, one in Christchurch this weekend, March 17, and then another in Wellington a week later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very excited to be performing. And I think the key thing to expect is a sense of reflection, definitely. The show is based on a question of how far have we come, which is kind of timely in terms of us as a nation, us as people, Pacific people as well, and also individually. So it's a sense of reflection, a sense of fun, really cool sounds, really cool music created by Anonymous, also known as Fayomu Matthew Salapo. Just some sense of excitement, of reflection, and also really hard-hitting work.
And how was it received in the United States? I imagine the audiences might be quite different to, say, here at home.
Yeah, they are quite different, but also they were quite receptive. It was really positive over there as well. I think it's a story that can be connected between anyone and everyone, and I think that was a positive thing, and also something that they really enjoyed, something different as well.
And I'd be really interested to know what you think about the two countries' arts industries and how they compare. How would you describe the New Zealand arts industry at the moment?
At the moment, it's building and it's coming together, and it's growing, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And over there, I think there's a lot of support from the higher power, and then also a lot of interest as well, which is really beautiful to see. And also everyone and anyone kind of is welcomed as well. And just like us here in New Zealand, I think it's nice to see it starting to flourish and starting to kind of grow.
Faith Schuster from Black Grace, thank you so much for taking the time to kōrero. And Black Grace has two shows coming up with their Paradise Rumour production, March 17th in Christchurch and then Wellington on March 22nd. I know this will have had you on the edgier seat, the edgier headphones, the entire episode so far, because now it is finally time to talk the alternative payment a US library is accepting from punters to pay off their fines during and only for the month of March. CatPix. A library in Massachusetts is allowing people to pay off their book fines with pictures of their cats, or drawings of a cat if you don't have one to take pictures of, or pictures of any animal. As well, it seems they must have received a couple of queries because there's a clarification that's been added to their website right at the bottom of all this, with a little asterisk. It reads, "We will accept honorary cats as well." Then they give examples of other animals you can send in pics of, like dogs, raccoons, orca or capybara. Very niche animals, if you ask me. And then they say any other animal will do as well. They've dubbed this March Meowness. Quite like it. According to overseas media, the library says more than 400 accounts have been cleared of fines within the first 5 days of March Meowness and accepting cat pics. Pics have been definitely a currency I wish I could use, and I'd be interested in trying to use. Might try it next time I'm at the supermarket. They definitely, though, wouldn't want a hand-drawn picture of Bean by me. That'd probably be enough to get me kicked out. That is Newsable for today. I'm Imogen Wells. Have a lovely weekend, and hey, in a couple of weeks, it's Easter. That's a PSA for everyone who forgot and hasn't made plans yet, aka me.
This pod took time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit staff.co.nz/support.